So this time of year, there is that Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. And it is called National Youth Pastor Sunday. And youth pastors all over the world are preaching this morning because seniors off doing vacationing stuff. When you go to youth pastor Facebook groups and stuff like that, it's a real thing. Those churches that are a little bit larger, they say they get to preach in the big church. And so I am Pastor Howie. I am the pastor of youth and children family ministries. And so today is my shining day. I get to preach in big church. So I talked with Julie Schieffer Tuesday night, and I said, "Is this true?" And she couldn't. Good? All right. She couldn't deny or acknowledge this to be true. But a pastor friend of mine said that there was this animal that lives in the woods. And when I talk about this animal that lives in the woods, it's good for children. Because I think this animal that lives in the woods helps them to grow, helps them to understand, to kind of sort things out. It's a very innocent thing, I believe, with the children. As we get older, this animal has a tendency to maybe be a little bit more aggressive. And this animal moves at lightning speed. We've all heard about this animal. We really didn't know that this animal ever exists. But when our back is up against the wall, this animal seems to come running out. So can you picture what an animal like this would look like? It is this animal. This animal is called a yabut. A yabut. So the story goes, my pastor friend would say yabut, or I would say yabut, and he would always reply, "A yabut is an animal that lives in the woods." And he told me that he heard it from Julie's dad when he was a teacher. So she can't confirm it, she can't deny it, but she was kind of like, "Yeah, that probably sounds about right." My son was in the car with us Friday, and I said that I was going to be preaching. He goes, "Okay, what about?" I said, "The yabut." He goes, "Oh, the animal that lives in the woods." He knew exactly what we were going to be talking about. There were 9 GIs. They went away for the weekend, and they were supposed to report back at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. And the company officer was furious when the first one decided to show up at 7 p.m. The soldier explained, "Well, sir, I had a date, and then I missed the bus. So I grabbed a cab, and the cab broke down. So I went to the farmhouse, bought a horse, and the horse died 10 miles before I could get back to camp, so I had to walk the last 10 miles. The other 7 servicemen came, and the commanding officer was furious, and he was like, "What's your excuse?" "Well, I was on a date, and I missed the bus. And so I got a cab, and the cab broke down. I stopped at a farmhouse, bought a horse, and the horse died 10 miles from the base. So I had to walk the last 10 miles. The ninth soldier came in, said, the commanding officer was like, he knew what was coming, kind of thing, right? He goes, let me guess, you were on a date and your cab broke down, so you had to buy a horse. And the guy said, well, you're all correct up to the cab part. He goes, my cab didn't break down, but the road was so filled with dead horses that we couldn't get past it. We've all made excuses, haven't we? Some of them far-fetched, some of them not so much. I want you to turn to Luke 14. We're going to look at the parable of the great banquet. And I loved how the testimonies have gone this morning about humility and watching God work and the thankfulness. Because before we start with the banquet, the great banquet, starting at verse 8:15, I want us to start at verse 12. Luke 14, starting at 12. Because this is the part where Christ is talking about humility. It says, I read out of the New Living Translation, then he turned to the host, he, meaning Jesus. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, or the rich neighbors, for they will invite you back. We've all been there. You know, it's the back and forth that, you know, we invite you. Next time we'll be at your place, and we do those things. For they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell his guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began to make excuses. The yeah, but. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married. Sorry, can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the cripple, the blind, and the lame. After the servants had done this, he reported, there's still more room. So the master said, go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Reading this at first glance, growing up in the city, my first question is, how do you try out the oxen? I got to try out my oxen. What? I don't get it. But that's just the city guy in me talking. The other thing is verse 23. So the master answered, go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge them to come so that the house would be full. Now this whole parable is Jesus inviting, God inviting us into fellowship with him. It is God inviting us into a relationship with him that we can experience the fullness of what God has for us. All of humanity has been invited. He first started with a certain group of people, but when they denied it and gave these excuses, he urged it all the more. Here are the three excuses that I want us to look at. The first is the one in verse 18 where it says, and the one said, I just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. He was more concerned about the property. He was more concerned about his assets, if you would. Whether it's his own, whether it is a group of properties that he manages, who knows? It's always a never-ending cycle for those of us that are homeowners. And even if you're living in an apartment, you still know that there's a lot of things to do. You know, we look at the HGTV, we look at Magnolia Networks, and we look at those do-it-yourselves kind of projects, and we're like, oh yeah, we can do that. And we spend time and money and energy and resources, maybe even just a little too much. My wife and I were talking. I was walking the dog, and as I was walking, the end of December, 50 degree weather, I'm thinking, I can't wait to get into the yard, do some trimming. I'm already doing the checklist of here are the things I want to start doing for 2025, right? And as my wife was talking, she was saying, I'm getting the garden ready. I'm starting to figure things out. You know, what do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? I want to change things up. And so we're already thinking about home improvements and what to do. But when those things start to take precedent over our time with God, then we've made an idol, right? Now, the Bible does say that we need to be good stewards of our homes, right? And the things that he has given us. Colossians 3:23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That was Colossians 3:23. 1 Timothy 3:5. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? It's talking about deaconesses. And that was 1 Timothy 3:5. If we're not careful, we can easily become obsessed with our homes and our properties. But if it takes precedent over building our relationship with God, then we are rejecting the intimacy that he has invited us into. The second excuse we find in verse 19 where it says, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to go try them out. Please excuse me. This is where we find the excuses that maybe some of us have used is work. You know, work takes precedent over our relationship, our livelihoods. Remember an individual talking about, they came to me and they said, how can you justify working on Sunday with the youth of going out and raking leaves and stuff? We don't do a thing because it's the holy day. It's a Sabbath day. We don't do a thing. We go out to eat for lunch, and I'm like, okay, there we go. You're not willing to do it, but you're allowing other people to do it. Now, I'm not saying those individuals that work on Sunday are lost. What I'm saying is when it takes precedent of a relationship with Christ, that's when it becomes a problem. We all sometimes have to work on a Sunday. But there's got to be other times during the week where we can spend time in God's Word and study. Busyness can truly be one of the most effective weapons the enemy has for us. And even though we're supposed to work, you know, once again, it's the fine line between doing what we're supposed to and the relationship. Once again, we go back to the Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 10 through 13. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. If we take it too far, the worldly busyness can really captivate us and hold us hostage. I'm not sure what the last few months have been like, but how many of you guys are still eating leftovers? Yeah. It's almost been a week. I think it's safe to say, and it's okay to pitch it. You know, the ham and the turkey doesn't stay that long in my book. So I give you permission, wipe out the Tupperwares, throw it away, so we can start with the new leftovers for New Year's Day, right? Okay? If we give God our leftovers of our time, it shows us that we value other things in life rather than God. When God is the first thing that we cut out of our busyness, we reject God's invitation and the deeper fellowship that we have with Him. And the last one centers around relationships, which is probably the one that can get us bound up a whole bunch. There's two different ways that these relationships work. It's the horizontal and it's the vertical. The excuse was, I just got married, so I'm not going to be able to attend. That horizontal is us. In Genesis 2, 18 through 20, it says, then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts is made up of a whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part in it. That was 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 27. So relationships and marriages, once again, are a good thing, but we always live in this tension of how much and where do we fit our priorities. The vertical is the relationship that we have with God. John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Nothing, not even marriage, can be a higher priority than the relationship that we have with God. Our excuses are not a result of our circumstances or situation, but it comes down to the conditions of the heart. When Jesus gives this parable, it's about bringing people into the fellowship with God. And maybe those are some of the things that some of us have struggled with. Is I can't get into a relationship with God right now just because I just have other things that are taking my priority. I want to invite you into a fellowship, yeah, but I want to invite you into this fold. Oh, that sounds great, yeah, but. And I always get frustrated with that phrase because I don't care what was said before that. It's that but that supersedes anything that was said beforehand. I love you, but. Okay. There's some conditions there, isn't there? So some of us may not fall into this category. Maybe we are into the fold, and maybe we are spending a lot of time, and we're doing those things. And yet God's asking you to do something. Yeah, but. Ooh. So I want us to real brief look at Moses. And in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, God's having this conversation with Moses, and he's saying, I want you to get my people out of slavery. I want you to draw my people out of Egypt. And his favorite line is what? Yeah, but. Yeah, but. I'm not adequate. I don't have the ability, or I'm not enough. Is that your yeah, but? As we start to look ahead into the future, into the next year, maybe God's asking us to do something, and you say, but I'm not enough. I'm not adequate. Oh, man, that sounds great. Yeah, but I just, not me. Or maybe you'd be that individual that says, I don't know what to say. And I know there's been a lot of us in that position where go talk to this individual. You know, one of the things that I freak out about every time I get up here is I don't know what to say. Hey, would you be willing to do this? Would you be willing to talk to this person? Oh, I'd be willing, but I don't know what to say. It's the yeah, but. I'm not a good speaker. I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled up. There was a friend of mine, Paul, and his dad was associate pastor here. Many years back in the 70s, Jim Sluss. And his son's about our age, and Paul, at least at the time we hung around him, had a stuttering problem. Except for when he preached. Can you imagine if Paul spent his entire life just saying, oh, I would love to, God, I have a heart for your word and everything else. Yeah, but I stutter. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And this is my favorite. I'm not qualified. God, send someone else. I don't have the credentials. I don't have this or that. I don't know what. I'm just me. So there's two camps of our yeah buts. There's the yeah, but I don't want to get into the fellowship with Christ. What excuses are you making? I go back to that original part where it says, urge people to come. I'd love to come to church, yeah, but I got things to do. I got to work on my car. I got to work on the house. I got to work. I got to do this and this and this and this. Or there's those individuals that say, I want to do more things for God, or maybe he's asking you to do more things, and you're like, yeah, but I don't speak well. I don't know what to say. I don't have the time. I don't have the credentials. There's several things. The best way to get rid of these excuses, to throw out ourselves at the mercy of Christ and just say, take it. I'm going to let you deal with it, God. I'm willing to. I'll do it. Yeah. And let God deal with the rest of it. And I believe it's going to be at that point where we watch and we see God truly at work and what he's capable of. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for a chance and an opportunity to come into the fold. Thank you, God, for calling us. No matter where we were, maybe we were the friend that came willingly. Maybe we are the lame and the crippled and the undesirable. And yet you called us into that relationship. Maybe we're those individuals that has a whole bunch of other excuses of adequacy or tongue-tied, don't know what to say or even how to go about it. I pray, God, that we take a step of faith. You're taking the faith in us to do it. You're calling us to do it. Because you want to show off the great things that you can do through us. God, we thank you and we love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we worship?